Amen. Give God some praise today. Why don't you hug a couple people, shake some hands, fist bump somebody before you're seated today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oof. That's church. God ain't done yet, man. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If I don't finish today, I always got next week. Amen. I do want to switch gears, say our message, talk about healing. We're going to need this chapter 3 of Ruth. We're in our series, deals with actually relationships and marriages and things like that. But it also really emphasizes the working of the generations of Naomi and Ruth. And we're getting to Boaz. He's introduced to us today. But we're in a series in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. So if you got your Bibles, open them up, boot them up, however you get there. Go over to chapter 3. And this is the chapter where we really look at the connection between Ruth and Boaz. And I was just praying this week, and if you are single, if you are maybe single again, maybe, or your parents of single of people, or even married folks is going to get something out of this chapter, an example that is given to us with Ruth and Boaz as they find love and find each other. And we've been looking at their life in chapter 1 and 2. It started out with pretty rough devastation. But chapter 2, we talked about last week how Ruth, because she made a decision to follow Christ, she found herself in the favor of the Lord. How many want that favor? Amen. Favor of the Lord. Amen. What is that favor? We talked about that last week. But we see in chapter 3 that favor of the Lord continues to follow Ruth even into her relationships. How many know God wants to be a part of every area of our life? He doesn't want to be just reserved for an hour and a half or 20 minutes on a Sunday. I was talking with this one pastor at his church. He does services in 62 minutes per service. I can't get my Bible out in 62 minutes and get... We don't finish worship, and I don't know how that I ever get to that place. Pray for us. We're trying. I got this new software on my iPad. I'm trying my best, but hey, I'm going to obey the Lord. Let the Lord move like this and touch your hearts and lives. I don't know. Amen? Is that all right? Amen. I'm going to do it anyway, and so I hope you follow it, but I don't seek to please people. We don't do that, and we follow the leading of the Lord. I don't know if we'll ever get to a 10-minute worship and a 15-minute inspiration talk. I don't think we'll ever get there. We want to let the Holy Spirit move and have his way in his church and do that. I don't care if we're preaching on family or finances. God's going to speak to us whenever we have a worship like that. And whenever we seek him, he will speak to us in our hearts and lives. And so I think that we're all going to get something out of this anyway, chapter 3, no matter where you are on the social status. How many know there is a right way and a wrong way to do everything, including finding a spouse, including once you're married, how to be a married person, how to be a Boaz or a Ruth. Now, Boaz is an example of Jesus. He's the kinsman redeemer. I've been saying that all throughout this series, but today we're going to learn some practical tips from these guys as we look at relationships. And we want to attract God's favor into our relationships. There is a right way and a wrong way to do everything. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Melinda and I, we've been married for some time now, and we didn't start out right. Come on. Amen. We just didn't. I wish that I could tell you I went from high school right into Bible seminary, and we met each other in college and loved Jesus together and had late-night Bible studies, and here we are. Amen. I love those stories, and some of you have them, and some have them, and that's great. But we're more of examples. If you started out with a train wreck, God can put you back on the tracks. So that's kind of where we come from, and we did get married young and early, and I saw her when I first saw her. She walked in that room. It was during the Pistons going back-to-back for a three-peat, and I remember 1990, and it was in the spring. We were all watching. I was in the NBA. I hasn't been delivered and blessed to football yet, and so, but anyway, her and the girls walked in. No, Pistons were cool. They were bad in those days. And I remember I just smelled Aquanet in the room. And and we turned around, and there were some females there, and all my friends was on them like white on rice. And Melinda was outside, and someone said, hey, there's one more outside. And so I snuck out the back door. Come on, somebody. Went around to the side and saw Melinda sitting on the front porch and was like, how you doing? And, had that hair, had that look. I was, what's up, man? That little bling, help me, Jesus. Some polo, cologne. And fast forward, we ended up getting married, and we moved forward, and had the honeymoon stage. Was excellent, and everything was great, but her and I, we did not have Jesus in our life. And let me tell you something, I don't care who you are, how much money you have in the bank, how educated you are, how many achievements you have, where you come from. If Christ isn't in your life, you can't give somebody something you don't have. And so the goal of a healthy marriage is not a healthy marriage. The goal is to become like Christ. And so when you become like Christ, the marriage will heal itself. As both of them pursue Christ. A healthy marriage is not a place you arrive. I've learned it's just a lane you get in. And when Melinda and I did that after 5 years and said yes to Jesus and I began to get into my word, God began to change my life and into a Boaz. I was a bozo, but then I became a Boaz. And you don't want to get Boaz's cousin. And so we're going to see him if I ever get into this. And Melinda, God has brought her to like a Ruth. And we've been a great story. We're not perfect. We still have a lot of long way to go. But we'll be celebrating 33 years this June 20th. And so I'm giving you hope. I don't care where you are, where your marriage is. We were headed for divorce many times. My bags were packed many times on the back porch. And we just didn't have, and Christ made the difference. And so these two start off right, and they did it right. And we finally got it right. And so we're going to read here. And so Ruth works in the field. We left off last week. She's gleaning in the field, and she took that step of faith to begin to follow Jesus. It starts with that decision. She didn't allow her past, her disappointments, to keep her in her grieving clothes. She said, I'm going to go and I'm going to glean. She didn't let her grieving stop her from gleaning, because favor is in the field. And so the Bible says she just so happened to come across Boaz. Field. So when you step out in faith and we begin to follow God, He will direct our steps, trying to help us already. And so Ruth comes home and tells Naomi all about Boaz. And Naomi says, hey, honey, you need to stay in that field. And in chapter 3, verse 1, let's read it. Then Naomi, I'm going to put these on the screen today and just go as we go and see how far we can get. Naomi, her mother-in-law, okay, said to Ruth, her daughter, shall I not seek security for you? I want you to underline security for you, that it may be well with you. Now, Boaz, whose young women you were just with, Ruth, is he not our relative? In fact, he is. Okay, let me stop there. There was a custom that if God put this in place, that if a woman lost her husband for survival purposes, really, so she wouldn't be cast at a wayside, the siblings of her deceased husband could take her on as a wife or into the family. If there was no siblings, then the closest relative, and they would redeem and save Ruth from being a widow and not having anything for her to live on for the rest of her life. Naomi knows about this. Ruth is a Moabite. They don't have that custom. So Naomi is telling her about this. And says, therefore, look, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. This is harvest season. And in verse 3, she says, therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your red dress. Slip on those high heels. That sweet perfume. Okay. This is where Johnny Gill got his lyrics from. I'm just telling you. That's where Babyface, that's where they get their lyrics from right here. Naomi said, Ruth, I want you to suit up. I want you to put some perfume on. I want you to look good, okay? Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. And do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Okay, we know. People get hangry. You got to let the man eat his food. There's a time for everything. Preaching already. Then it shall be. Now listen, this verse is going to take a left turn because we're in the 21st century Western looking at this from the Western mindset in 2025. Okay, this is going to seem very weird when you're getting ready to read. This is not what you think it is, okay? This is Bible times. I'll explain it. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies and go and you shall uncover his feet and lie down and he will tell you what you should do. She did not have a foot fetish. I'm just telling you this right now. There was none of that going on. This was a Jewish custom. Okay, that was happening. By the way, the widow thing went away in the New Testament. The New Testament, that law does not apply in the New Testament. So, you know, if you lose your husband, that don't mean your brother-in-law has to marry you. Okay, I just got to, some people know Bible and some people don't. And so I've learned not everybody knows the story and not everybody knows everything. So I just want to be very clear about that. And Ruth is doing something here with uncovering his feet. But verse 5 is what I'm going to look at first. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. I want you to write some of these points down. And the very first thing we see is that Ruth welcomed Naomi's advice. I want you to see this. If you are single in this place or you're looking for a spouse or even if you're married and you're needing to get improvements in your marriage, listen, you got to be able to listen to wise counsel. Amen. You can't get to the place where you shut everybody out, okay? You got to be able. And Naomi gave some good advice. Naomi was the one that said, hey, first of all, baby, you stay in this field. Don't go looking in this field for a husband. You stay in Boaz's field. In fact, she's the one that said, you need to go to the threshing floor. She was directing Ruth where to find a spouse. In other words, honey, you're not going to find a husband on Tinder. You're not going to find a wife on Tinder. You're not going to find, you'll find a boyfriend out there. You'll find a girlfriend out there, but you're looking for a husband. The Bible says if you want to, you're looking for a husband. We're going to look at this in a minute. Or if you want to find a wife, you find a good thing. So Naomi is coaching her as to what field to glean from, what pond to fish in. Where are you looking to find that spouse? Where are you looking as a source of wisdom of marriage counseling for yourself if you're married? I don't recommend that you get marriage counseling from somebody who does not honor marriage, who does not like marriage, and maybe they have had a rough time in their life and been divorced several times, and you got marital problems. I wouldn't recommend talking to them about marital problems. I just would, as your pastor, I'm telling you, you need to find somebody that's been around a little bit, that has some wisdom and a track record before you take wisdom from that person. And so, but I want to show you how Ruth allowed Naomi to speak into her life. She said, I want you to go down to the threshing floor. Why? Naomi is also saying, listen, you need to find a man who's already living the life. You need to go find a man that's already living the life. If he's not into God before you get married, when you get married, it's not going to make him a man of God. I gotta go real with you today. I can't pedicate with you. If he doesn't honor God and he's not a man of faith, he don't have to be a preacher. He don't have to be a pastor. But if he's not even interested in the things of God, you marrying him or her is not going to make them. They'll come to church for a minute to get you off their back, but they're going to go right back to the way that they were. Naomi knows this. And Naomi says, you need to find you a working man, a guy who's already got a job. Listen, because she had her best interest in mind. What did she say? She said, I'm looking for you for some security. I had you underline that. I'm not looking for a guy that's looked cute in your Instagram photos. You know, that's cool, but you need to be thinking, what is your life going to be like if you hitch up to that train? What kind of future are you going to have if you say I do? What is your future? This is Naomi saying, Ruth, I got your best interest in mind, honey. I don't care what he looks like, but what kind of bills are you going to be able to pay? You need to find a working man. You need to find a man that's already operating at that level, who's already respected. How does he treat his mama? How does he treat his husband? How does he treat other people? You know, that's what Naomi is telling him, warning and saying, listen, there's a warning for, I think it's a huge red flag when you see people who's willing to just cut everybody out of their life, their lifelong relationships, parents, friends, over that one person that they're in a relationship with. I think that's a huge red flag, quitting school, quitting jobs, and quitting everybody else. And listen, because who's to say they're not going to quit you when things get tough too? Is this too hard and too blunt and too fast? This is what I'm saying. Naomi says, listen, you need to find a man who's already, you know, doing it. So that's what I loved about Ruth. Ruth was willing to take the advice from Naomi. She didn't say, Naomi, you're an old lady. You don't know what you're talking about. She was like, no, I need to include you. I need someone. No, you don't got to do everything that you, your parents or someone that has given you advice. But she was open to listening to the wisdom that Naomi was giving her. A mature relationship, when a person is a mature place to have a relationship, isn't it that you're able to maintain all your other healthy relationships, your job, your goals, your careers, your relationship with God, your husband, your mom and dad, and you're able to bring them right into your home and into that family, and your parents gain a son or a daughter, and her parents gain a son or a daughter. I mean, that is the beauty of family, and that's how God intended it. It is a red flag when you see people just cut everybody off. I had a friend that did that. Every time he got in a relationship, about 18, 19 years old we were, and he got into a relationship, you wouldn't see him for weeks. He'd be gone, ghosting us. No basketball, no nothing. And then as soon as they broke up, here he come. What's up, guys? I'm like, where you been? Oh, he got a girlfriend. That's where he's been. He did that his whole life and even into his marriage, and that didn't work out so well. Here's the scripture for it. I love Proverbs 18:22. It says this, he who finds, everybody say finds, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. That word finds should be right on the screen right here. I want you to find that word finds. Am I pointing to it? Find that word finds. Is it there? Okay, come on. I ain't got time. I got to go. This is huge. Listen, the word finds is a Hebrew word. It says matzah. This is what it means. It means to find along your journey and not detour from your destination. That's the Hebrew thought. That's why I love looking up words, because it adds so much color and meaning. It simply means this, he who finds a wife. That means someone who has got a destination. They're pursuing God. They got some goals in their life. They got a mission in life, and they're going. They're not pursuing a wife. They're pursuing a goal, God. And along the way, they find something valuable, and they pick it up, and they go, wow. And they add them to the journey, and they continue to go along the way that they're going. They don't find somebody and go, oh, I'm going to give up on all of that, and we're going to follow you around, whatever you want to do. That is not what he says. If you do it this way, you will what? Obtain favor from the Lord. I'm trying to help you get favor. Dial 911 a long time ago. Okay, I got it on my system. He said, you want to get favor of the Lord, then when you find that wife or that husband should come alongside of you in your journey. That is what it is intended to do. And this is what you see the first thing Ruth did, is she's listening to Naomi. She's taking advice. If you are looking for a spouse today or needing some marital advice, let me tell you something. You've got to be willing to receive counsel. You got to. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. And that's the very first thing that we see, which I love. Now look at verse 8. Let's go down to verse 8. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself, and there was a woman who was lying at his feet. Okay. You don't go sneaking in people's houses, lifting blankets off people's feet, okay? That's called a restraining order. That's what, you won't get favor. You'll get shot, probably. Don't do that. So there is a custom, and this is what's happening. There's two things here. One is it is a custom that Naomi told Ruth to do, and that is to find a kinsman redeemer. What you do is you are to ask them to take them under your wing. And this was an Old Testament custom. We even have this in Scripture where God says he will take us under his wing. And so the kinsman redeemer, if he agreed to take you on as another wife or take you on into the family, and this is Old Testament, amen, or into the family, he would take a garment and he would put it over you. It was a whole ceremony. It was a pledge to take that over you, saying, I'm going to receive you. And it actually says it in the next verse. But here's the spiritual rhema. I was meditating on this, and this is what was happening here. We can apply today. See, she lifted up the blanket to his feet, because she was letting the cold air come in there and slowly and naturally awaken Boaz to herself. Ruth awakened Boaz naturally. This is what I want you to see. In a relationship, the Bible wants us to get to know one another and be attracted to one another naturally. This has to be the chemistry and the thing that we like about them, the character of the person. Ruth wasn't sending inappropriate pics to him. She didn't have an OnlyFans page. She did not have any of this stuff going on. This was something that Ruth wanted Boaz to love her for who she was, and Boaz wanted her to love him for who he was. Because later he goes on to say, even after he accepts this, he says to her, there is still another relative that is closer to you than I am. Which, let me explain this, because some people think that Ruth and Boaz got together just for legal arrangements. That's not true. There was romance there, bro. Read the story. Go back to chapter 2. Boaz come walking up into his field, and he's got all these gleaners working in his field, and we read it together. He stopped and goes, hey, who is that? He was attracted to Ruth's character and to her hard work. He was attracted to her, not in a sexual revealing way, but for her character and for who she was. And then he began to give her water. He began to say, hey, fellas, leave this one alone. He gave her extra bundles of barley. And then now we find there was actually a kinsman who was closer, a relative that was closer than Boaz. She could have went to him if she just wanted to be taken care of and redeemed Naomi. Or she could have went to one of the younger men, because Boaz was older. He was older in the story. He was older than her. She could have simply went and found a younger man and just said, hey, you may not be able to be a kinsman to redeem Naomi and me, but at least I can be taken care of. So you see what's going on here. Naomi coached Ruth to come at his feet and to slowly awaken him in a way so that he would be attracted to her feminine beauty. She used her feminine beauty to attract his masculine strength by laying at his feet. It was that character that he was drawn to. Here's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. But you should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within. I know we don't preach this today. Look here. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious. You ever meet somebody that is so fine but got a nasty attitude? The Bible says a pretty woman or a handsome man that has no discretion, has no class, is like putting a gold ring in the nose of a pig. That's Proverbs for you. I say amen. Amen. You may have, you know, the looks, but the Bible says, really. Now, if you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, hey, go at it. But if you want a wife, he who finds a wife, he who finds a husband, you want to have marriage, you even want to rekindle that marriage. I mean, yeah, there's some outward things and there's chemistry that has to be there. Absolutely. Boaz recognized her right off the bat. But once he learned Ruth's story, is that she's in the field, not for her, but she's doing it for Naomi, her mother-in-law. They lost her husband. She is a Moabite, and she moved all the way here. Boaz was like, man, I got to get to know her. He was drawn to that natural beauty that she had. Now, verse 14 says that she laid at his feet all night. Well, let's read there. It says in verse 9. Well, let me know. Verse 14, I'm all over the place. I'm trying to hurry, and I don't want to hurry. I hate hurrying. Verse 14 says that she laid at his feet all night. And what does that mean? That simply, like I said, it was appealing to his masculine strength. That was showing submissiveness. That was showing, I'm going to follow your lead. Now, the Bible does say that a wife should submit to her husband, and that's a bad word today. What does submission mean? Listen, let me help you with that. That don't mean you got to go lay at the foot of the bed tonight. That don't mean you got to follow your husband around like he's some kind of, he's a dictator. He's not supposed to be a dictator. Submission just simply means you honor the leadership of your husband. And submission is something that is not required. It is something that is given out of trust. You see, Ruth trusted Boaz to go to his house in the middle of the night during harvest season when he's working hard. He had a little room there because it wasn't his home, but during harvest season, he would sleep at the mill. And he had a little cot in the back. And the Bible says it was so dark they could not even see each other. You don't go into a strange man's bedroom in the middle of the night with some perfume on and a red dress and high heels unless you trusted the man. Can I get an amen? That submission thing is supposed to be something that we do because we respect our husband and you work together. Husbands and wives are equal in value, but we do have separate roles that complements one another. A husband and wife is not to compete, they are to complement one another. And if Ruth was called and women are called, if Ruth was called to lay at his feet, guess what? Men are called to lay down our lives. This is all in Ephesians 5, that God has called men to be willing to lay down our wives. I'd rather lay at your feet than lay down my life. But men are required to be leaders and to lay down our lives, meaning we put ourselves last. Let me talk about Boaz for a minute. We're really going to get him next week. But Boaz was a strong man. Boaz means strength. Oh, I'm going to ring it out next week. Let me just give you this. Boaz was the type of guy that he knew to put the other people first. See, a husband, role, we are to put our, if our kids need a new pair of shoes, then we don't go buy that video game. We don't go buy that new toy. If our wife needs new tires on her car, we put her first. A husband puts her wife's needs first. That's what we're called to do as leaders. And that's what Boaz is going to do in this story. So it says in verse 9, and he said, who are you? This, and she said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. He said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown me kindness at the end, more at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men who, whether poor or rich. Look at that. She could have. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a what? Virtuous woman. Everybody knows about you, Ruth. It's that character, and it's that character that I'm drawn to. You're not perfect, but you got a character. You got a heart. You got some class. You carry yourself in class. You carry yourself with integrity and character. You got a mind for God. You are that, like that Proverbs. You ever read a Proverbs 31 woman? Here's another one. That's a strong woman in Proverbs 31. She gets up while it's still dark out and goes and works. Her children rise up early and call her blessed. She comes alongside of her husband. That's a power couple. Let me tell you something. That is God's calling for husbands and wives. Ruth and Boaz, that's a power couple in Israel. You watch what happens next in the next chapter. That's what God's called us to do, to be a team, to complement one another. And that's what he's saying to her. Verse 12, it's not on your screen, but he says, it is true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative that's closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative, then good. Now watch this. If he does not, but if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform it. And then he says this, but as the Lord lives, let the Lord's will be done. Look at Boaz. Boaz says, I'm drawn to you. I think you're pretty. You're looking good in that dress, baby girl. Smell good. But here it is. As much as I want to be in a relationship with you, I'm going to leave this up to the Lord. We're going to put this relationship into the Lord's hands. And so, well, he said for her to stay all night. What'd they do, Pastor? See, there go our mind. Next verse. So she lay at his feet until morning. Okay, just let everybody know they honored God through the night. Do I need a 20-minute, I take you over to Hebrews 13? The bed is undefiled and marriage is honorable for all men, but the fornicator and adulterer God will judge. It's Hebrews 13, honor God, guys. Honor God in your dating. Honor God in that season. He says this, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. So what I want you to see her, first of all, is that Ruth let her intentions be made known in the beginning. So what Ruth is doing is, in the beginning of the relationship, she's looking at Boaz and she's going, listen, I don't want it just a summer crush. Amen. I'm not in it for a boyfriend for ninth grade. I'm not looking in it for an experiment. And I'm not proposing on the first date. I just want you to know my intentions, and this is what we need to learn. If you're looking for a spouse, you need to have those intentions, right? I'm looking to see perhaps you and I are the ones that God is bringing together for us to have a long, lifelong companionship. That's what Ruth is doing. She's not into dating for dating. She's saying, no, because the best thing I can give you is my heart, and I just don't give my heart to anybody. Because if it's broken, it's going to have pain. It's going to have all that. So I want to make sure. So she teaches us some things there. She shows what kind of person she is. And I love what Boaz says. He says, don't let people know that she came here. Why is he doing that? Boaz is protecting her from scandal. Because people love to talk. They love to talk then. Look at Ruth. Oh, she spent the night at Boaz. I'm going to go on TikTok. Hey, you know Ruth? She come here like she was all holy from that Moabite woman. Well, I saw her leaving Boaz's walking the walk of shame this morning. Girl, let me tell you something. I love a Boaz. Boaz, that strength, listen, man, said, I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to protect your reputation. Would it be to God that us men realize that our role is to protect our wives and our family in every area? Don't let nobody talk about them. No family, no one. Listen, you and I are married. You're my wife. You're my responsibility. And you're going to see this protection thing really big, because Boaz goes to fight for her in the next chapter. I'm going to skip all the way down. Let's go to verse 16, the last thing, and then we're going to pray. Because I do want to pray over our marriages today. I want to pray over our families. We done sung about it. But look at verse 16. When Ruth came back to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done, Boaz. And she said, these 6 ephods of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Let me just give all the fellas a heads up. You need to love your mother-in-law. Come on. You don't have to be at enemies with the in-laws. My in-laws are watching right now. I know they are. And I would kiss up to Ellen. And she knows it. I would be like, how you doing, Ellen? She'd go, oh, she called me Eddie Haskell. Gee, what are you doing today? Plus, she could kick, she could cook, throw down in the kitchen. Every Friday was pizza night from Little Caesars. I was there in the house sitting around the table talking about, hey, Hercules, Hercules. I was ready to eat. I love my mother-in-law. We've had a great relationship all the way through. Listen, we need those relationships. You don't got to be best friends and all that, but I'm saying, Boaz says, listen, I want you to take this home and bless your ma. He knows what he's doing. And if you know what you're doing, and if you want to start a relationship off right, this is something that we got to be willing to do. But the last thing that she said, and I'm going to give you this, verse 18, Naomi's last piece of advice says, then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how this matter is going to turn out. In other words, Ruth didn't rush things. Even though it was a man of God, even though it was the right thing, right place, she said, let's slow this thing down and let's make sure that God's will is all over it. I don't believe in real long engagements. I personally don't believe in 5 years of engagement. How you gonna keep honoring God for 5 years? Amen. Especially when she's got that red dress on. I'm just saying. Because you are a man of God, and you are a man, and you are a woman. So I do believe, but I do believe we need to do our due diligence and sit down and handle those conversations. How much debt you in, brother? Maybe not the first date, but I'm saying, because once you become married, guess what? Their debt is your debt. Amen. What's your credit score, baby? In these spaghetti good, what's your credit score? I mean, I don't know how you're going to get to it, but we got to make sure that we are ready to connect for a lifelong commitment. And last thing, there is a risk involved. Not everybody is going to be perfect. You're not going to get everybody that checks every box. But these are just some principles that we learned that they did, and they had God's favor on the relationship. Now, chapter 4, they started off with a little bit of a battle, and Boaz had to step up and be Boaz and pursue. And we're going to talk about that next week. And then the reward of the Lord came in. And man, it's amazing what God has done. Showed me something that I've never seen before in the life of Boaz. And I'm going to share it with you this week. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? I know that's a little bit of... You might have to go back and rewatch this. This is one of those messages that you might have to rewatch if you missed something. I went kind of fast. But I want us to stand in this place today. And I want to pray. I want to pray over our married couples today. Our marriages are always hit hard. We're living in a day when there's just so much going on, and I know it. Linda and I, we do marriage counseling all the time with folks, and we've seen God do some amazing things. And it starts with that first thing, allowing people to speak into your life. Listen, don't get so isolated in your relationships, man. You got to have somebody to talk to. I don't care if you're 40 and 50 years old. Find somebody that's got some wisdom and say, hey, I need some advice on this. Because what's worse than wishing you were married is wishing you weren't. And I've seen people run into things, and I've told them. When I was a youth pastor for 11 years, I'd have them come up, 17 years old, Pastor Eddie, will you marry me? I said, why? Because I'm going to marry my boyfriend. I said, why are you marrying your boyfriend? God gave me a sign. This is a true story. This is a true story. I said, what sign did God give you? We were driving down Jefferson, and it just was raining. And I said, you know, we've been through this storm like this rain. And we turned the corner, and there was a rainbow. Pastor, God showed us a rainbow. We're getting married. I said, honey, that was a sign that God was not going to destroy the world. Are you reading your Bible? And I've seen people get mad when I told them you need to wait a year. I require three. I'm just going to tell you right now. You want me to marry you? You're going to go sit in the office for at least three sessions of premarital counseling. It's for your good. And it's for my good of a clear conscience when I marry you. And I've even married, not every marriage works out. You can do everything right. It takes two people to make a healthy marriage. It only takes one to destroy it. Let's get on the same page with our spouses. That's our number one merit. Our number one mission in life, husbands, is our wives, in our families, and then our jobs, and then our ministries. So, Lord, we just thank you for this story that we just skimmed through chapter 3 today, God, but there are so many truths there that you have laid out before us in the lives of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. And Father, this isn't just an ancient story, but it's got relevant biblical truth for today. I pray, Father, we would receive these words of instruction today, and we would apply them where they fit in our lives. For single today, if someone is watching this message and they're single and looking for a spouse, of God, I pray that you would lead them and guide them and direct them, Father, and even speak to them more of what I wasn't able to cover, Father, because you want them to marry the right person more than they do. And I pray for patience. I pray for strength. I pray for comfort and guidance in that area in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're in this place and you got your boyfriend or girlfriend, fiance or a spouse, I want you to reach over and grab their hand. Come up here, babe. I want you to reach them over and grab their hand. Some of them are working and serving, and you're here in this place, so grab your other hand like this. Austin, grab both hands, you and Felicia. If you're watching online, I want you to grab that hand. Amen. Representing your spouse in the name of Jesus. And this is what I want you to do. Men, I want you to pray over them.
Come on.
I want you to pray over them right now. If they're not here, you pray anyway in your heart. If you're a wife and you're here and you're by yourself and you have a husband and he's not a man of God, he's not a man of God yet. I got saved before she did. And this is what I said. I'm going to go to church if you go or not, but I want you to go with me. And she watched me for a while because she thought I was just going to try to, because our marriage was in the gutter. And she wanted to see if I was just trying to pull this off to get her back. I don't blame her. How many times I did that? Not church, but other things. And then after weeks went by, months went by, she watched me getting in my word. She watched me living the life. She watched me quit going out and partying. And she watched the change begin to happen in my life. I come home one day. I said, baby, you look different. What happened? She said, I gave my life to Jesus today. We jumped in ministry together, and here we are. So if you're here today and you say, well, I don't have a spouse that's serving the Lord, but you can pray, and I'm going to pray over you as well, that God's going to bring that man or that woman in the name of Jesus. But guys, will you just pray over your wife, your girlfriend right now, wherever they are? Pray God's blessing and favor on them right now. You have that authority. Lord, I thank you for Melinda. I thank you, God, for this woman that you have blessed me with. Father, I don't deserve her. I've told you this many times, God. I thank you for her, Lord. And I just pray over her right now in Jesus' name. I want you to go ahead and just keep praying. Keep praying over. Now, will the Ruths in this place pray for your Boazes? Will you pray for your husbands, your boyfriends, even if they're not here? And if you're single, and by faith in the name of Jesus, listen, I told my daughters, you pray for them every day before you even meet them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for me. I'll pray, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We pray this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have our altar workers come, and if you do need additional prayer for anything else, or maybe your couple has, you have something going on in your marriage, you can get more prayer at the end of every service, at every time. You can just come up here to the front, and we're going to pray for you today in Jesus' name. Is this all right? You receive this today, this word and this a message? I believe in healthy marriages. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Is it on?
Is it on?
Hallelujah.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Awesome. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you are with us. I thank you, God, for marriages. I thank you for the singles that are in the house. I thank you for those that are in a dating relationship. I thank you for all that you do in our lives. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your peace that reigns on us, oh God. I thank you, God, that you go before us, Father. You show us the way. I thank you for that, God. God, I pray for every single relationship that is in the house today. I pray for them and I lift them before your throne, oh God. Father, I know it is your will that you have joined people together for your purposes, oh God. And I thank you for that. And I speak blessing over them, that men of God would rise up to that position that you have called them to, Father. And that women would come alongside of their husbands and give them that strength that they need, oh God. I thank you, God, for marriage. I thank you for the purpose in it, oh God. I thank you for the couples that you have put together, God, that are going to transfer into marriage, Father. I thank you for that. God, I just pray for all of them right now. Father, I just thank you. I pray that you would go with us, that you would go before us, God, that this week would be a blessed week for every single individual. God, that they would feel your presence with them throughout this week. God, that you would remind them of this word throughout this week, that you would give them for a hunger for your word throughout this week, oh God, and that you would bring us back together again, Father, that they would walk in your blessings, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
God bless you guys. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.